Blog Talk Radio.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by Patreon listeners like you. If you would like to join their ranks, go to patreon.com/rethebard. That's patreon.com/RIPHEBARD. And follow Sherry on all the various social networks at rethebard. That's RIPHEBARD. And now, from the studios in San Diego, California, here's Sherry.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Before we start this week's show, I want to let you know that this month we're doing the Chatty Awards, which is our annual awards for the most downloads and the most live listens. For people who are fans of the people who are nominated for downloads, please listen to the shows, because the more you listen, the closer those people will get to winning the Chatty. Today, I'm welcoming award-winning writer and actress Lena Poussette. She's been in shows like Silver Spoons, Night Court, Murder, She Wrote. She is an Interactive Academy Award winning for Best Writing and Caesar's World of Boxing and Interactive Academy Award winning for Best Sports Title. I'm really happy to have her on the show. Welcome, Lena.
Thank you, Sherry. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
We actually have something in common, although you had a part and I was the atmosphere person. We were both on Silver Spoons.
Oh, you're kidding. What did you do on it?
I was a student. I was an atmosphere. I was part of, well, what we called back then an extra. I was a student.
Ah.
I was in about 2 or 3 episodes, and please don't ask me which ones because I don't even remember.
Wow. Well, I played a Swedish nanny watching Ricky Schroeder, and he falls in love with me, but I fall in love with the father. It was a mess. It was a very cute show.
I remember you from Murder, She Wrote. That was a really good show.
Yeah, that was a good show. I like that, yeah.
That was it was really... I love Murder, She Wrote. I mean, and I still watch it, well, not this month because they're doing their Christmas thing that knocks all the good mysteries off.
I love mysteries, actually. Thrillers and mysteries. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big mystery buff. So Murder, She Wrote's one of my favorite shows. Was it fun working on that show?
Yeah, I loved it. I was actually scared of her a little bit because I heard rumors that she wasn't very nice. And so I kind of studied up on her. So I knew everything about her. And when I met her, we became really good friends. Well, not friends, but she was very nice to me. And we chatted a lot about her background and all that. And we actually shot it out on the ranch up in Malibu, which I lived there at the time. So I kind of rolled out of bed and almost rode on my horse down and appeared. It was really easy. I was very close to the location. It was a fun shoot.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, her mom was an actress too.
Yeah, and she's been around forever. What is she, 90? 90 something?
Yeah. Still going, doing Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first adult role, because she was a child actor, was Gaslight, where she was actually a young girl playing an older, not an older, but a woman. Because I think she was like 16 or 17 when she played that character in Gaslight. And when you see her, she looks much older than that.
I love Gaslight. That's one of my favorite movies. So well made.
Yeah,
I don't even know what part that would be, though.
Was she on stage?
Was
a sinister maid. She was a sinister maid that was working with Charles Boyd to drive Ingrid mad.
Ah, now I have to watch that again. I didn't realize she was in that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and she does Cockney and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it just I love her. I've watched every movie, every TV show, except for Manchurian Candidate. I don't like mind control things, so I just couldn't watch that. But
it's a great movie. You should watch it. It's a great movie. Yeah.
Can't stand mind control. That's my budget.
Yeah, but it's good to. If you learn about it, then you maybe it won't happen to you. So you're a movie buff. You're a movie buff.
Oh yeah.
Then.
Super movie.
Yeah,
especially classic.
Yeah, I'm watching like 3 movies a day right now because I'm on a committee for something. So I'm watching a lot of movies every single day. Yeah.
Do you when you watch movies for like a committee, when you're looking at new stuff, do you watch it as a professional, or do you watch it as a person who's a movie fan, or is it somewhere a combination of both?
I think it's a combination. You know, I try to look at it professionally to see what I want to check. You know, I don't want to say what committee I'm on because I don't think we're supposed to do that. But I look for certain things. But if it's a really good film, of course I'll forget, and I'll be so totally into it that I forget what I'm supposed to do, and I sometimes have to watch it again. And yeah, I do watch a lot of the films twice actually, which is a lot more work.
It's interesting because it's like when you watch a movie, it takes you to another. It's like a good book. It takes you to another world. It just transports you. People who say, "Well, I don't read," and they're proud of it, I don't really understand them because it's like I love a good book, especially if it's something that I'll never do in my whole life. Like be an astronaut, like read the right stuff. That was such a great book, and I'm never going to be an astronaut. Do you have a book that transported you when you were a kid?
Gosh, I have so many books that I love. If there is a movie version and the book, if there's a book and they're made into a movie, I'd rather read the book, which is kind of funny since I write screenplays. But I love books. Because a lot of times I'll read a book and then I'll watch the movie made of it and I'm very disappointed because it's not what I saw in my mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I read a lot of books but then I forgot about a lot of them. I can read something again and not realize I've read it. I don't know what that is, but let me think about, I mean, there's so many great, great books. And so many great movies. It's very hard to just pull that one.
I know.
Yeah. Now I have
It's sort of an open question. You actually answered it. You don't actually have to come up with a movie if you don't want to.
Oh, movies. One of my favorite movies is My Man Godfrey. Love that movie.
Carol
Lombard and
William Powell.
Yeah, love that movie. I have that and I watch it actually. That's one of these movies I go back to because I laugh as much every time. Yeah, they're awesome. It's an awesome movie.
I love when he puts her in the shower. Oh, we're going to take care of you, little Irene. Don't worry, we'll take care of you.
Carol Lombard was something else.
Yeah, she was a great actress, and she was funny as hell.
Yes.
The best one for that was To Be or Not to Be, though.
I just saw that not too long ago. Yeah. It's the chemistry between her and Jack Benny was amazing. Yeah.
I mean, you would think they would be the odd couple, but they fit together so perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, see, it's such a joy. And there's, I mean, it's amazing too how many older movies like that hold up. You know, I watch a lot of the Hitchcock movies too. And some of them, yeah, don't hold up maybe as well, but as far as storytelling, it's just amazing.
Well, yeah, I also have a great crush on a couple of the actors who are in Hitchcock movies, like Cary Grant and Rod Taylor. I got to admit, I could watch them over and over and over again just for those guys.
Gregory Peck.
Gregory
to Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sexy man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, different times, though, you know, different times because it was more, they had more of a private life. Now we see everything online, everything on Twitter. So it was just really, really different. Yeah.
I know. I know. It is a totally different world from when they were. But it's weird. I was talking to my brother recently because they were having, I watched a lot of TCM, and they were having a thing about Jimmy Stewart, and they showed him on Carson, and it reminded me, when we were kids and we watched talk shows, there were legends on them that today there's nobody to compare it to. Cary Grant,
yeah.
Katharine Hepburn,
yeah.
Jimmy Stewart, Henry Fonda, Jack Lemmon. There were so many people that were great legends. And now you see a talk show and it's like people, I have no idea who they are.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And also, I just feel like we know too much about people. I wish people that were, you know, celebrities could have some personal life that we don't even know about. I don't know.
Oh, that's true.
I don't want to know too much about them.
Yeah, but there was always the atmosphere of yellow journalism. I mean, even back in the 20s, they used to do stuff that was not very nice about people in the movie magazines and stuff. So it isn't like, I mean, now it's much more, you can roll out of bed and have it pop up on your telephone, you know, where back then you have to buy the magazine and it only comes out once a month or once a week.
Yeah.
It's not as readily available. And you could not buy it, or you could buy it. I mean, you have a choice. Nowadays, it just pops into your feed, and you have no choice.
Yeah, true. It's right in your face every day, and it's just too much. It's too much gossip and too much things we don't want to know.
And gossip is sort of like equal to news now. So it's like, even though it's not something that is, I studied journalism in college, and one of the things they taught us is that you have to have at least three sources. Now it's like you see it on Twitter and you put it on the news. I don't understand.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about your transition from being an actress to being a screenwriter. Were you always writing? Or is that something that happened later, or did someone introduce you to that aspect, or did you decide just to do it? How did that come to be?
Well, when I was like 6, 7, I wrote books. They weren't good, but I wrote little books at home. I don't know. I liked to have my imaginary world from start, you know, so I had that. But no, I acted since I was 6 or something back in Sweden and came here. And well, acting didn't, it just wasn't enough. It felt to me that acting was, for me, that you get so into yourself and your character. It's all about you and your little world. And it seemed so much more interesting to be able to create a bigger world, not just this character that can only do, you know, Russian girls or Swedish girls or French girls, or having to just do the same type of stuff all the time. And then my friend Brooke Swachtel was a writer. And I don't even remember how we start writing together, but I probably, knowing me, would make comments about his writing that he was probably very patient with. And I, we wrote, started writing, and we did great. We, you know, sold a couple of films here and there, and we were hired to write for a pretty big company. So he was my mentor, and he taught me. I don't think I could have started a computer without him. Honestly, so he taught me a lot, and forever still, when I have something big that I'm writing, I send it to him for approval before I send it out, because I trust him,
Brooks is a friend of the show, you know, and I love him, and I can see him doing that. He's like he has all this historical knowledge in his head, as well as being so talented. So this would be really cool to write a screenplay with him.
Oh my God. You can ask this guy. You can ask Brooks, who was the composer of some B movie from 1954, and he will know it. He's got such vast knowledge about films and any kind of movies and music and scoring and about a lot of stuff. So he was a great help. So he's teaches, yeah.
That reminded me, I was just chatting with him because I'm a big Rod Taylor fan, and they had just shown The Time Machine again, and we were talking. He told me everything about the Time Machine stuff, and I thought I knew a lot, but stuff I'd never heard about. Where the sets came from and how it was done and how the backdrop came and what was moved. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like amazing. It's like being in one of his classes.
He's like a walking encyclopedia, that one.
I know.
Yeah, no, he has written that. He also taught me magic. He's the one who got me started in magic too. So he's I can blame him for a lot of stuff.
Aw, poor Brooks. I wonder if are your ears burning, Brooks?
Uh-huh.
But he's like such a nice man and so talented. I love
he is.
You know, talking to him. He also does documentaries. He's very do you do documentaries too?
No, actually I haven't. I've been approached about it, and that's something I've been thinking about. But I have not. I'm actually so busy with all the stuff I'm doing that I don't even have time for things like that right now. I'm film and doing some TV and it's just so I haven't. And I think it's a completely different arena. It's something I haven't done, and I'm not 100% sure in how to even approach it.
Because I think I have to admit, I am a documentary junkie. Especially if it's anything about space, I am there so fast. Because when I was a little girl, my dad woke us up to bring us outside to see Alan Shepard shoot up it was John Glenn go around the Earth. He actually woke us up in the middle of the night so we would remember it. I don't know if my brother remembers because he was like three, but I remember him picking me up and putting him on his shoulders and pointing to that what looked like a shooting star. But so we've been space travel nuts in my family since we were little kids.
But that's amazing. I mean, he created an interest for you. That's wonderful. Uh-huh. You know, we remember things like that. Events and things, places we go, but you don't remember what you got for Christmas, right? So Christmas presents or whatever, it's not as important. What's important is those things, you know, to be there with your parents and share their passion. That's lovely. What's your favorite documentary?
Oh, God,
do you have a favorite?
There's so many. Well, I just was watching one about, it's a series, it's called The Planets, and mm-hmm. all about each of the planets and the Cassini spaceship that went to each of the planets to document them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like I said, I'm a space nut, so it was just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think space is actually scary to me. I can't even, you know, think about floating around out there in weightlessness and never be able to come back. It's a little scary, I think.
That was one of the things I found interesting was one of the astronauts, the guy who hosted it, Mike Mestinian, I think that's right to say his name, he was talking on another interview show. It was much more about himself and his personal, and he was saying there was this movie called Passengers, which I haven't seen yet, and he said one of the people went out and they got bored looking at space, and he says, you can never do that. He goes, when you look out a window of a spaceship, it's like looking out your window at the stars. But when you're out of the shuttle and you're doing a spacewalk, he goes, you're surrounded by stars. There's no way you can get out. He said, I forgot sometimes to work.
Wow.
I mean, to me, it's like a dream. I'll never do it. I'm too old and I'm not fit and all that stuff, but I cannot pass by a documentary about space.
Mm. I never even thought of that. I don't think I've ever seen one on space. Yeah.
Oh, they're so cool. We have a caller, and I have an idea who it is.
Oh.
Hi, caller. Who's calling? Your name and where you're from, please?
Fan of Lena Poussette and from Place Undetermined.
Hi, Fred.
Oh, your ears must have been burning.
Well, I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to work with Lena, and we've worked on many things in many fields. And the way to just work with her is to just, you know, simply agree with her, because she's usually right.
And I'm also stronger when we arm wrestle. I can beat him in arm wrestling, so he doesn't have much chance.
Nope, and I gave you your nickname, SWW.
This is true.
What does that stand for?
Swedish Wonder Woman.
It's actually been used in some credits that I've done. Yeah.
Anyway,
I
don't want to take up Lena's time, just to say how wonderful it is to know her and work with her, and what a bright, creative, delightful person she is.
Well, thank you, Brooks. I'll send you the check tomorrow.
Okay. we'll go over the spelling and amount. All right. It's a great interview, and I'll get off.
Aw. Thank you, Brooks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, he's too cute.
I recognize the phone number. That's why I started laughing. He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, he is. And very knowledgeable. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back on track. I wanted you to be able to talk about anything that's upcoming. Do you have any shows that are coming out or any events that are coming up that you want to tell the audience about?
Well, one thing that I'm doing that I have two partners in is actually we're working on a franchise called Cat Dex, and I have two partners, Dion and Linda. And we just shot a short. We also have a feature that we have a lot of interest in, actually, from some major production companies right now. And we have a novel. We're working on a TV, and we're working on a sequel. And basically the tagline for this is, a female Rambo hunts poachers in Africa, Tarantino style. So this girl is badass. And it's anti-poaching, obviously, and trophy hunting. And she looks at those animals as her family, so she's protecting her family.
I am right there with her. I mean, that's great. Sounds good.
Yeah. So
I get very upset about that hunting and poaching.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And the animals, they're dwindling. I mean, it's pretty horrific that we're doing this. And to look at pictures of whole families, actually, with a dead giraffe or an elephant or a lion, and, you know, the girl, 5-year-old girl and 12-year-old boy grinning and holding up the rifles and the parents, it's just, you just go, wow. I mean, what are we teaching these kids? It's bad. Yeah.
I know. It makes me so sad that it's like they have no respect for these beautiful, beautiful animals, and it just makes me kind of sick to my stomach, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're not alone. We have a Cat Dex Facebook page, and we have over 68,000 followers. And we started this like a year ago. Yeah. And we're doing Twitter, too. Twitter is a little bit more difficult. It's a lot more back and forth. But it's CatDex and like, yeah, Facebook, over 68,000 followers. So, you know, a lot of people are upset. And
that's
I think
great. What is the – so this is a short right now. Is there, like, do we know when any of this is going to come about that the public can see it, or can they see the short?
Oh, yeah. Well, we just shot it not too long ago. We shot it, with a live lion, with a wonderful group called a place called Steve Martin's Working Wildlife, and they are they're great. They're really wonderful. And we shot it, is it 3 weeks, a month ago? So we have to do all the posts on it. And, and then I'll let you know. I'll let you know. I can show it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see that. Yeah. It's
yeah.
Sort of
and
sounds
then,
like a Xena in modern day.
Yeah. This girl, actually, she's been in the Marines, and she's tough. She's really tough, but has a big heart. And her partner is the son of a medicine man. And so their partner's down in Africa. And it's, we love this project. And we also have a novel that's going to come out next year. So we're doing a lot of stuff with it.
Cool. Do we know when next year that the novel will be out?
Well, it's finished. We're just working on editing. And I don't know when yet. That's something else I can let you know. We're just pushing all our projects forward. You know, so we have a tentative novel right now, but we're not releasing it right now. I think we're waiting until the short is coming out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
if you want a copy, I might be able to get you, one ahead of time. I don't know. I'll check on that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Reader.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Do you have a website that you want people to come to that you can give right now so people can see your stuff?
I can do that. It's CatDex. I think it's CatDex franchise. Let me see. There you go. It's CatDexFranchise.com. So it's CatDexx. And then franchise.com.
Great. And what is do you have, like, are you on Facebook and Twitter, and do you have those that you can give out so people can follow you?
Yes, absolutely. On Facebook, that's where we have 68,000. Hold on a second. We are just CatDex, CatDexx. And I'm going to see when we're on Twitter. I think we have at cat, what do you call it, one of those? Geesh, I'm Swedish, I have to say, excuse me, underline, and then dex, C-A-T, you know, the one you get when you shift and you do a,
correct.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm blinking out. I was going to try to rescue, but I couldn't think of, I can't. I underscore. I think it's called underscore.
Underscore. This is so, yeah, yes. Which is so weird because it's not really underscoring. It's kind of instead of, right?
Yeah.
So why is it an underscore? Underscore should be under something. This is, okay. Cat underscore Dex. Yeah. Yeah, and there, and we help, you know, we did a fundraiser a little bit for our short, and we donated 5% of the donations to Black Mambas. I don't know if you've heard of them. They're women in Africa who protect the animals, and to another wildlife foundation. So we do try to support nonprofits that work with wild animals in Africa. And we're going to actually put that on our web page. We're going to have so people have opportunity to pick if they want to donate to different groups to save
amazing.
Animals.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We need to do that. We don't have those buttons on yet, but we've talked about putting them on. So because we do want to help all these groups that, you know, they put their lives on the line to save animals. I don't know. Have you heard of the Black Mambas before?
It's funny because I've always been a big fan of Stephanie Powers, and I saw her at a collectible show. And the two subjects we talked about, because there was no one around, so we talked for a few minutes. One was at the time the Hollywood sign was in danger of being torn down, and we were both natives. And Los Angelinos, and we both were like, this is just outrageous that they're thinking of doing it. The other thing is that it's rather famous that she has the Wildlife Foundation in I think in Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what African country it's in. And we were talking about those things.
Stephanie Powers? Yeah.
Stephanie Powers.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I've been donating to that since I was, when Heart to Heart was on, I was in high school, so I was about 15 or 16. And I still send little things to when I can afford to them.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of organizations that are doing great down there. But what I love about the Black Mambas, they're an anti-poaching unit, and they're women. And they, they're awesome. Check them out. They're on Facebook. On Twitter.
Anything that protects animals is okay by me.
Yes.
We're running out of time. I just want to thank you for coming on and taking the time to come on and chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, that was fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Chatting with Sherry is brought to you by listeners like you. You can support this program by leaving a rating or a review at iTunes, at Sherry's Patreon account, patreon.com/readthebark, or by following Sherry on all the various social media at readthebark. That's R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. Once again, that's readthebark. R-I-T-H-E-B-A-R-D. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.